I want to show you the difference between churches, the difference between Christians, the difference between visions, the difference between people in the same church, and why some people are infected by people they work with. Why, while they may appreciate the Word of God, they are not transformed. They lose interest, have wandering minds, fainting hearts, and souls that are spiritually weary. It's an in-depth teaching with an in-depth study. So as you listen to it, listen to the inspiration of it and not the letter. It's crucial because this message will determine your full reward, which we're not going into tonight. Now, the first thing that we want to say, and I'm going to speak slowly, all scripture, say it with me, is given as God breathes and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instructions in righteousness, that every man may be thoroughly complete and mature in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have the principle of the breath of God. Now in John 20:21, he said to his disciples after the resurrection, "Peace I give unto you, as the Father has sent me, even so I send you." Then he breathed upon them, and they received the Holy Spirit. That was their office at that time. In Ezekiel 37, in the coming years, and some of you, we were at the Valley of Dry Bones, and you saw that valley. And it says that the Holy Spirit will breathe on the graves, and the graves will open. And men and women who are saved will come out of the Valley of Dry Bones. So everything is dependent upon the breath of God. Now the breath of God is the Holy Spirit. Now 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 8 says he spoke from the spirit and breath of his mouth. So one of the things that just is not understood, it's just not understood. And because it isn't, there is worldliness, materialism, out of boundaries. There is pornography for some, spiritual slothfulness for others, not being consistent for others, all because of what I'm going to teach you tonight. Then on the other hand, those that are going well for God, it's because they're living in tonight's message. And the first thing that I want to share with you tonight, God said in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, "I pray God," Paul said, "that your spirit, that your soul, that your body be preserved blameless until the appearing of Christ." God is a Trinity. And man cannot hunger after God unless he lives in his Trinity. Let me illustrate it. In Genesis 1:26, the Trinity said, let us, see, Father, Son, and Spirit, make man in our own image and our own likeness. Let's give them dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and the cattle, and everything that creepeth on the earth. So God created man in his own image, and his image created him. And male and female, now he gets into Eve, he created them. It's Genesis 1:27. But the thing that made man was God said. God said. God said. God said. The word of God, which will judge us at the beam of seat. Why do you think that I would spend up to 4 and 4.5 hours for tonight's message? Because you're going to be judged whether you're here or not. You'll be judged for tonight's message if you're called unto this ministry. Now in Genesis 2:7, God formed man out of the dust of the earth. Then he breathed into nostrils of man, that's his spirit, and man became a living soul. God said, now we have the Holy Spirit making man a trichotomous, which is a big word, and I don't care if you never remember it, but it's spirit, your human spirit, sensitive and conscious to God, your human soul expressing your mentality, your conscience, your self-consciousness, your emotions, and your volition. Five things, and the old sin nature is also located in the soul. Then you have the body. You can see the body. And the soul governs the body of the unsaved. But you see, no matter how much a preacher weeps or studies, no matter how much a wife does, you see, the natural man cannot receive the things of God, and he will reveal that he's not interested. That's 1 Corinthians 2:13. The natural man. That means the soulish man. So when man left his three parts, his spirit, soul, and body, and the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, when he left his spirit, soul, and body as a threefold creature, he became a twofold creature, and God could not communicate with him, so he would hear and obey the truth. So far, do you understand this? Now then, the Bible says we are able ministers of the New Testament, New Agreement. But the letter killeth, but the spirit gives life. You see, if I'm a soulish man, I may prosper tremendously through logistical grace. Do you know Hitler prospered? Nobody could stop him until God took him. Do you know Al Capone did pretty good until God took him? You're familiar with that, right? You've heard of Al. I don't think you want to join him tonight. These people were twofold creatures. But you see, in Ecclesiastes 5, God gives logistical grace to people who want their portion in this life. You with me? They want their portion in this life, so he lets them have it because there's no portion in the next life. The husband said to the wife when he drank and beat her up, and she was as sweet as she could be. And He said, why is it kind to me? Because she said, for all the billions of years to come, nobody will ever be kind to you again in hell. So I'm going to give you kindness. Now, this is what the Bible says. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The soulish flesh in a twofold creature profiteth nothing. But the words that I speak, like Genesis 1:26, 27, Genesis 2:7, they are spirit and life. That means that the word and the spirit are totally necessary for me to function at any time. I have to have, and the word of God is God's breath in 2 Timothy 3:16. In order for me to function, I have to have two things in John 6:63. The word that is spirit and the spirit that is word. That's why I'm going to say it again and again to teach you tonight. Genesis 1:26 and 7 with 2:7. The word in 26, God said, 2:7, he breathed in the spirit. Now, when Adam and Eve sinned, the spirit became dead. And Adam and Eve, they were only soul and body. The serpent said to her, hath God said? He questioned God's word. And I watch people work with the world. And they accept people questioning the word of God. And it makes me sick to my stomach. Try it with me. I'll love you into righteous indignation. There's no fear of... Christians don't have any fear of men in Proverbs 27:25. They're going to reign over them forever if they get saved. Now, but what happens is a person who's a twofold creature doesn't have anything to fellowship with God with. The spirit became dead. You with me? It takes the spirit for him to fellowship with God or her to fellowship with God. They don't have the human spirit operating at full speed. They have nothing to pray with, nothing to come to church for, so it's almost a religious duty that they might get to heaven someday. They don't have a God conscious human spirit. Now the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 3:21a, the spirit of a man goes upward. The Bible says in Matthew 28, fear not him that can kill the body, but is not able to kill the soul, but fear him that's able to kill the soul and body in hell. That's clear, isn't it? You see, that means he's a twofold creature. And the reason the rich man went to hell, it wasn't because he's rich. Thank God for godly Christians that are wealthy. I want to keep that in front of you because they can help missionaries, help the church. They can even build a new church if they wanted to. Now, so where does the soul and body go if man isn't a threefold creature? And hell. Now listen carefully. The Bible says in Psalm 119 verse 50, it's the word that quickeneth. But in 1 Peter 3:18, Christ has suffered once for our sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. So there, you're quickened by the Spirit. And in the marriage of the Scriptures with the Spirit, in 1950, you're quickened by the Word. All right. Pastor Wright, come up here. Pastor Wayne, you come up. All right, I want to see. Now, he represents the body. And when he gets here, he represents the soul. Soul, mind, emotions, conscience, self-consciousness, volition, and old sin nature. But no revelation from God. And when you hear the word of God, you can't receive it. You're not against it, you just can't receive it. And his body lives in the desires of the soul. May even be a good person. Might even be self-righteous. Might have all clean habits. Doesn't make any difference. It doesn't save him. All right? Now we will have Pastor Law come up. I get tired of making fun of Law. We got Grace this time. On that side, sir. All right. Now, all of a sudden, he hears the gospel. And the Holy Spirit preaches the good news. So he's born again. Not of incorruptible seed, which liveth and abideth forever. 1 Peter 1:23. But watch me connect the two again. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. See, Titus 3:5 goes with 1 Peter 1:23. So all of a sudden, man died. Now the human spirit is alive. And a man, now he has a spirit, soul, and body. Now he's made in the image of the Trinity. The spirit, soul, and body. The spirit indwells the soul. Now when he dies, this body, which will be resurrected later on in 1 Corinthians 15, goes in the grave. But the spirit and the soul take off to heaven and they go right up. You see? In 2 Corinthians 5:8, Ecclesiastes 3:21. So they go to heaven. Then when the resurrection comes, now he has a spirit-filled soul body, and they get the physical body and resurrect it to defeat the devil with God's last words. Now, I'm going to explain a verse to you that so often is misconstrued. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. There's been more contradictions of 1 John 3:9, but it's absolutely true. Let me show you why. It doesn't say the man doesn't commit sin. It says what was born of God doesn't commit sin. And the human spirit cannot commit sin. And he's considered saved because his human spirit has been quickened by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. So what it means is that never again will his human spirit commit sin. Will the soul commit sin? Yes. Does it have to confess? Yes. Called rebound in 1 John 1:9. But once it rebounds, it's back to that. And by the way, positional truth and all these beautiful things about complete in Christ, perfect in Christ, hid with God in Christ, is all directing to the human spirit that is the only place where God can visit man. Now, just imagine a marriage that only had these two. They may prosper, but they'll never have a relationship beyond what they gain from this world's goods. Friends will never have a friendship beyond being able to play golf together. There's nothing wrong with golf, but I mean, if you both like baseball and you both, that's not fellowship. It's all right to do. There's nothing wrong with it. Because your fellowship's all based upon the fact you both like golf. See, that's why I like boxing. I'm just teasing. Now, here's the sad story. It would make all the difference in the world if the Word of God, which is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, could separate, when they're saved, could separate the spirit and the soul, because the soul's taken over. So the Word of God received in meekness in Psalm 25:9 could make that person back being spiritual. He'd give up his pornography. He'd give up drugs. He'd give up his secret sins, because God consciousness takes over and controls self-consciousness. Do you understand that? Now, this is why in Ephesians 3:19, listen carefully, love passes by knowledge, and a man is filled with all the fullness of God, and God is able to give him exceeding abundantly above all he asks or thinks. Now, what does it mean to say love passes knowledge? Well, what is shed abroad in your heart by whom? Romans 5:5. The Holy Spirit sheds the love of God in your heart. Now, it doesn't say knowledge isn't the premise. It is. But they're both part of the premise. So, when he is filled with the Spirit, the love of God gives him more than the letter of 2 Corinthians 3:6. It now gives divine life. Do you understand that? Now he has divine life. And he has way more than the knowledge of soul power. He now has the life of God with his spirit separated from the soul controlling the body. All right, may I say this? If any man leaves his houses, sisters, brothers, not that you have to, it's just your willingness to. If any man leaves houses, sisters, brothers, mother, father, wife, and children for the gospel's sake, I'll give him 100-fold the rest of his life. Notice the next verse. I'll not only give him 100-fold. This is an interesting verse. I'll give him houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and lands. It doesn't say wife or father. He's not going to have wives in this lifetime. He's going to have wife. And God doesn't use father, because no one can take the place of a godly father. So he doesn't mention father. He mentions mothers. He mentions children, not wives. And then he said, I'll give him 100-fold in this lifetime and all these other things in the life to come. Then he says, the first shall be last and the last shall be first. Why? Because their value system was God's word. Their value system was a daily cross. Their value system was the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And when Job 32:8 says, there is a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding. In Job 33:4, the word of God says, the spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Lord has given me life. See? Now, in Proverbs 20:27, there is a spirit inside of man once he's saved. And it's the candle of the Lord where the light enters through the word in 119:130. And it searches the inward part of the emotions so you don't have to live in emotionalism. Now watch this carefully. There are people that aren't here tonight because of fear. I want to tell you that fear can't live when the Holy Spirit inspires the human spirit. Quote scripture on it. Here it is. Where art thou, Adam? As they hid from the presence of God among the trees. Where are you in Genesis 3? God, we heard your voice and we fled from your presence. And we did hide in amongst the trees. We sewed fig leaves and made aprons. And the reason we did this, the reason I did it, because he says I, singular, because she was included in him, because she was from him. And he said, the reason I did this is I was afraid and I was naked. So I hid myself from you. A man whose human spirit is not functioning is filled with different kinds of fears. They cannot function. Every phobia from hell comes in because it's just self-consciousness and how the world affects them. There's their central nervous system, chemical imbalance, and everything from the floods of hell take over because God's Holy Spirit, God's living power, God's inspiration, God's understanding, God's abundant life doesn't come through that soul. They may be Christians, but they're twofold creatures, one shot of having victory, power, joy, deliverance, abundant life, transformation, and that's God's answer for these problems. Now you can get mad at me, you can get mad at me, you can say that's not true, but you don't have a single leg to stand on because I fill this sermon with words and spirit and words and spirit and combined them, and you are dishonest if you can't accept that as God's solution. Now, Samuel, in the Old Testament, in the third chapter, God spoke to him in the third verse. And he went to Eli and thought it was Eli in the fourth verse. Here's why. Man had to depend upon themselves to hear from God. Just through the law. And the knowledge of the future Messiah. But today, I don't depend on myself to hear from God. And you don't. We depend upon the Holy Spirit, the Word of God. Because in Ephesians 2:1, you had He quickened, who were dead in trespasses of sin. That means God breathed. And when He was rich in mercy, and He quickened us together and raised us up together and He seated us together in Ephesians 2:5-6. He. I can do all things through Him. He supplies all my needs in Philippians 4:19. I hope you're getting this. A spirit-filled Christian today is dangerous for the devil, dangerous for the world, dangerous for the demons. And God's Spirit transforms us into another degree of glory in 2 Corinthians 3:18. And the Word of God says in 1 John 5:18b, we are untouchable. And we are some hated. So what do? We return love for hate and go out and witness. for 40 some years. There you go again, gonna tell him Jesus saved you. That's right, that's right. You loser. You're a loser! You're a loser! You're not gonna lie to us. We're walking in the light of the truth, and if we do fail, we'll name it and get back so quick you can't even accuse us. And furthermore, you can't accuse us anyway in Zechariah 3, 1 to 4. All right. Now in closing. Yeah, we really got going tonight, didn't we? Now. You may be seated. I just want to say this, and I am closing. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are grown up, adopted, we us, not technons, little babies, not just barely in the kingdom. They're flourishing in the kingdom. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the adult sons of God by adoption. They don't go back in the spirit of bondage again to fear, but they cry, my what? My daddy. And the Holy Spirit witnesses with their spirit that they are grown up in Jesus Christ. And heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, you see. So the Word of God says, the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in them, because they're storing up riches and treasures in heaven.